Good afternoon, everyone. I'll now declare the ordinary council meeting for the 25th of the 11th open. Firstly, I would like to give thanks for the land and the shire that we are currently in and meeting to discuss things about, especially to the Bimlam and Menang people, particular relevance with our last meeting accepting the dual naming. Record of attendance, item two, we have all councillors present and all staff that are required. No one is on leave of absence or absence without leave. Item number three, declarations of interest. We have a number. I will hand over to the CEO to briefly go through them.
Thank you. So the first one is Councillor Yule, item 9.2.1, and that's a financial interest. Councillor Sleeman, 9.2.1, and that's financial interest. Councillor Davenport, that's item 9.2.1, and that's a financial interest. Councillor Hockey, 9.3.2, which is an impartiality interest. Councillor Sleeman, 9.3.2, an impartiality interest. Councillor Wiggins, 9.3.2, impartiality interest. Councillor Wiggins, 9.4.1, impartiality interest. And Councillor Wiggins, 9.4.2, impartiality interest. And I'll read those out again and provide the detail at the appropriate time in the meeting.
Thank you. We'll move on to announcements by the presiding, by myself. The first announcement I have is our annual rate incentive prize. I think this is a very unique and very great thing that we do. I will now hand over to Judy to announce and present the prize, as I think that when you deal with those on a day-to-day, it's great to see the result, to be able to do it yourself and meet the people that that it affects the most. So thank you. I'll hand it over to you now. All right, thank you for that. It's a pity no one came, but I think it's a great award and incentive to get the rates in early and to reward some people. We'll now move on to item five, response to public question time. And firstly, we have Neil, previous public questions taken on notice. So public questions, in accordance with section 5.24 of the Local Government Act 1995, council conducts a public question time to enable members of the public to address council or ask questions of council. The procedure for public question time can be found on the wall of the entrance or of the council chambers, or can be downloaded from our website. Questions from the public will be invited shortly. If we do have, the meeting does proceed to 6 p.m, we will have, according to our standing orders, local law, we'll conduct a second public question time. Okay, questions from the public. Does anyone wish to, in the gallery, have a question or statement? Yes. Please state your name into the microphone. No.
Hi, thank you for letting me speak. My name is Serena Kirby, and just for the record, I'm not here representing any organisation. I'm simply someone keen to share some information about an underutilised initiative in the hope of gaining your support. So here's what I know. Recycling this container is good for the environment. And when it's recycled through Containers for Change, it's good for our economy. Because what most people don't realise is that all those 10 cents don't just add up, they come back into our economy. In Denmark, those refunds put almost $200,000 a year back into the pockets of locals, and therefore back into our local economy. That's nearly $500,000 in the last 2.5 years. I just find it's amazing. Nearly $10,000 a year goes directly to help community groups by people donating their refunds. That might not sound like a lot, but that's a lot of sausage sizzles. But wait, there's more. The processing facility also gets paid by the Containers for Change scheme for every container that they handle. In Denmark, that facility is run by Green Skills, a not-for-profit. This represents an additional $130,000 going back into our local economy as it pays to run the facility and creates local jobs. Statistics show that around 40% of eligible containers don't go through Containers for Change. And this is important because the scheme is funded by the beverage manufacturers who pay for a quota of what they're going to produce that year. So that's not that's regardless of how many containers go back through Containers for Change, which means that their refund and the processing money is literally going to waste, which means lost from our community. As we're nearing peak beverage consumption time and peak tourism time, and with the introduction of refunds on wine bottles coming up in just 6 months, it makes sense to gear up and capture as many containers as we can so that we can put more money back into the community. So how do we capture and keep more dollars in our shire? Firstly, we need to make the scheme more accessible, as many folks have difficulty dropping their bags of containers at the Denmark tip due to limited time, limited access, whatever their reason is. The answer is getting a Containers for Change drop and go station in town, behind the Civic Centre, and I can explain why I've chosen that location. Well, I've chosen. Mount Barker has got a drop-and-go station. Why hasn't Denmark? This represents zero cost to the Shire's budget because the station is provided through the scheme. It represents zero extra manpower to the Shire as it is emptied by the Green Skills staff. We also need distribution points in town for locals to grab the mesh bags, ideally and among other places at the Shire office and the library. That also is zero cost to the Shire. And we need to make locals more aware of how it can benefit the community by promoting it through the Shire Communications Network. Cost, again, zero. So my key questions are, one, will the Shire please support an application for a drop-and-go station in the Denmark town centre? Will you, two, agree to the Shire office and the library being distribution points for the mesh bags, predominantly for December, January and February? And I have the bags here already folded, ready to go. Will you make residents aware of the economic benefits of the scheme for our Shire, especially during tourist time, so that visitors have the opportunity to give back to our community by leaving their bottles behind? I also have the operations manager for the Regional Green Skills Container for Change scheme, Jason, to answer any additional questions that I'm not able to. And if you check your emails at 4:15, you'll find that a copy of my notes and a photograph of the drop and go station has been emailed to you all. Thank you, and I welcome any repeating of information or any questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Serena. Do you wish to respond to anything first?
Look, happy to have a conversation with Green Skills and see what we can achieve in this space. I certainly don't see any issue with that. We're certainly looking to ramp up our education on waste as well. So we can have a conversation with Green Skills and see where it goes.
Great, thank you.
Any questions
for the CEO, please. I know before we handed the containers for change over to Green Skills, it's a little bit more across the numbers. Obviously now they handle the collection, etc. of them. But are we still receiving some of the refund when people put their bottles or whatever in their recycling, and then they're picked out, or they used to be picked out in Albany, and we used to get a percentage back or 2 cents or something for each of those containers that went through the recycling system? Can you tell me what happening now and how much roughly we're receiving?
I'm more than happy to answer. I have got a couple of...
Yes. Just one sec. First, the question was directed to the CEO first, so we'll just allow him to respond.
I don't have the figures. My understanding is, as you suggested, that Cleanaway do reimburse the Shire for a portion of what goes through the recycling, but I don't know what the quantity is or what the rebate is at this point. We're obviously in a process now of going through our tender process for waste services, and so that's something that we will look at as our next contract lies here, like a 10-year plus 5 contract with a waste provider that's going to be coming around in the new year.
Thank you. Would I be able to get that put on notes to get that figure?
Yeah, we can. Yes, we can get that put on notice to be sent around councillors. Are there any other questions? Yes, Claire.
Firstly, thank you so much for doing all that research and following up in terms of the value to the community. I'm quite surprised, and I'm sure that's only going to double when wine bottles are included, given how much wine we like to drink in Denmark. Just in terms of where you suggested the location for the drop-and-go at the Civic Centre, can you explain why you think that's the best place? And also, I'm just wondering, If you had any thoughts how we might avoid contamination, which has been an issue with recycling bins in town in the past.
We have to record it. Serena, just 1 second. We have to record it, so.
Is that on now? Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I got it. Technical. Yes, I know contamination has been an issue. And primarily that's because in the past, places have been, the bins or stations or baskets or whatever, are in places of high traffic. So by putting it away from a thoroughfare, we can reduce that. And also, because I know we want to bring more people into the town centre, that's why I'm suggesting it behind the Civic Centre and not at the Visitors Centre. Because the Visitors Centre, it's a little bit out of the way. We want locals to be able to know it's there, and we want them to be able to drive into town to do something and bring their containers with them and not have to go past that intersection, which is going to be tricky, we know. And I really believe that that will greatly reduce contamination. It's visible enough without it being a thoroughfare. And also it's got great access parking-wise from various points. And there's a spot along the fence line underneath the trees. And you can just pull your car in from any location and offload your bags. So that's why I'm suggesting that.
Yeah, I was just wondering, just to be clear what we've got in place at the moment, it's really just up to individuals to take their containers to the tip, and that's the only option. Yeah.
Well, in all the conversations that I had before, when I started to research this, most people were saying, oh, I can't get out there on a Saturday, I've got something on, it's only open on a Wednesday afternoon and I work. And I know that the number of people I spoke to that work in Albany and put their containers in the back and take them to Albany, and we really need to capture them here. So yes, access has been a bit of an issue. And people just think, well, I've got a bag full, it's worth maybe $6 or $7. Am I really going to drive all the way out there just for that? Whereas if they can drop it in town, it'd be ideal.
Yes, Councillor Gibson.
Thanks, President. So I guess it's a question about what green skills do, but also the potential for your in-town drop-off. Because I drop my bag at the tip, and I inevitably get a bit of masking tape and write my scheme ID on the tape and then stick it on the bag and leave it there. So is there, on the bags that you have, is there a space to put the scheme ID? And will there be the capacity to write that on as you drop it? And is there the possibility also of having a list of local community groups or not-for-profits that would be keen to receive the money and their scheme IDs available so you can choose to put their scheme ID on as you drop the bag?
Yes. Yes, you can just write it on your bag as you put it in. There's a range of different drop-and-go stations, so it's depending on which one we get. But yes, there's a social media program being rolled out this week with the numbers of all the community groups in the list, and various community groups are going to start promoting their own community number so that people can capture those. But yes, we need to make that list more widely available. And again, it's just through education, through social media, through the Shire Communications Network, and yeah. So yes, you just write it on the bag.
With a provided pen? When you realise you forgot to write it on the bag before you left home?
Oh, well, you just donate it to charity then.
Okay, yes, Councillor Swain.
More a suggestion than a question. What about capturing the tourist market? Have we tried having bags or drop-and-go stations at maybe the big caravan parks?
They actually have them already, so that's one good thing. There are a couple of providers of accommodation in town that are getting them collected by not a not-for-profit and they are going to Albany. I think, again, it's that communication. I would love to see some sort of capture mechanism at every Airbnb. You know, why don't we make it... Yeah, anyway, I could go off on that one. But I have been talking to accommodation providers and venues. Like Denberger are going to get a bin. They're going to donate all of their proceeds to a local charity. BWS now have bags and they've signed up for a bin as well. It's just education. And I did notice that the Shire did a campaign for the National Recycling Week. But unfortunately, there was absolutely no mention of capturing those containers and getting the money out of them. So it's just education. That's all I'm here to do, and get your support through your networks to try and capture more of those dollars for our community. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Serena, have you thought about the towns out west? Because we don't have recycling out there.
I know.
And so for people to from there to Tipperary
I had
55, 65, 70.
I know. And I had thought about that, and I have spoken to Jason about that. That is something I'll have to leave with them. But absolutely, Peaceful Bay, Norlum, I just see it as money going to waste, and we could really help our Shire if we capture more of those dollars.
Yeah, I think if you could keep that on your radar, that would be great for people.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Right, anyone else? No? Oh. Thank you so much for your time and passion, Serena.
So you're going to answer my question about will you become a distribution place for the bags? Please.
We'll take that one on notice.
Thank you.
Okay, any other members of the public wish to address a question or a statement? No. Yes?
Yeah, thank you. It's Jason Bell. I'm the operations manager for Green Skills in Albany, so I run the Containers for Change. And firstly, I would like to express sincere appreciation to the Shire because you've been great with the facilitation. I know, Jay, you've worked for us as well. And David, you've been instrumental in helping us take it over. It's been a challenge. It's definitely, I give Serena a big commitment, her enthusiasm and passion to try and drive some growth throughout the town's been huge, and when she sort of approached me, I thought it's a no-brainer. Some of the figures, and I do have some of the figures, particularly, I'll just bring my phone up. So throughout the Shire of Denmark, a couple of the larger charity groups are the recipients of the benefits. The Lions Club in Denmark currently receive about 35,000 containers every year. The Shire of Denmark, which you inquired about, it's the second highest. So all of the containers that basically come into the tip get fished out of the recycle bins and go to the Shire, and it equates to about 26,000 containers a year. We've also got the Denmark Community Foundation, the Frank and the Writing for the Disabled Association. So they're up there with what are deemed our top 10 collectors. So it's great to see it's been spread out to various community groups. And one question you did ask, at the depot we would have a list of about 20 different community groups, schools, sporting associations. So many community members throughout Denmark bring their containers in and just ask for anything relevant, from fire, from bushfire brigades to other community groups. So it's awesome. Where Serena's sort of going, putting a drop-and-go bin. Contamination's not so much of an issue in a drop-and-go bin. People get the bags, they drop them in, we go collect them and then recycle them. We always get rubbish. It definitely comes and goes with education. The more people find out that these items aren't eligible, it will expand coming forward into July next year. And Worrell, what they're anticipating, it's probably about a 60% expansion. So, again, I'd like to thank Serena and yourselves. The Shire, it's definitely awesome to have, the recognition that Green Skills has been able to run the Containers for Change is definitely challenging. It's not, as you're aware, it's not an overly profitable thing, but it's a service that aligns with green skills and does its bit to help a lot of community groups, individuals, and to see, you know, to see the passion from so many people that come in is great. So, yeah, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Any questions from councillors? No? Thank you for your time and enthusiasm. Okay, is there any other questions or statements from the public gallery? No? All right, we'll move on. We have nil questions by members, which notice was given. We have nil presentations, deputations and petitions today. So we will move on to applications of future leave. Any councillors requiring to put in for future leave? I will go first. I am putting in leave from the 22nd of December to the 10th of January. Yes. Mover for. Seconder. All those in favour of. Sorry, yes. Mover was Councillor Devonport, seconder was Councillor Yule. Sorry, it threw me for a second, asking for my own leave. All those in favour? It's passed unanimously. Is there any other councillors that require to ask for a leave of absence? No. Okay, moving on to item 7.1, ordinary council meetings for the 28th of October 2025. Are there any questions for officers in regards to this item? No?
Through the chair, we do have three declarations of interest for this one, but it is related to the second recommendation, so. Oh, you're on minutes, sorry.
I must be contagious. Yes, Councillor. All right, can I have a mover for the minutes? Councillor Phillips, a seconder. Councillor Yule, do you wish to speak?
No.
Does anyone else wish to speak to the minutes? Okay, if you do not wish to close debates, all those in favour accepting the minutes? Pass unanimously. Moving on to item 9, officer reports. 9.2, corporate services. 9.2.1, financial statements for the period ending 31st of October 2025. Do you wish to do the declarations?
Yeah, through the chair, there's two recommendations here. The first one does not have any relation to the declarations of interest, so we can deal with that one first, and then I can read them out, and the councillors can leave the room.
Okay, are there any questions to officers in regards to the only on the first officer's recommendation for 9.2.1? No. Is there a mover for the first officer's recommendation? Councillor Gibson, seconder. Councillor Campbell, do you wish to speak to it? Seconder. Does anyone wish to speak against or to the motion? No. If you do not wish to close debate, all those in favour of the officer's recommendation? It's unanimous. Okay, we'll move on to the second motion. We'll read the declarations of interest.
Thank you. So I've got three declarations of interest for 9.2.1b. The first one's Councillor Yule, that's a financial interest, as Councillor Yule owns a business and a commercial property adjacent to the proposed Strickland Street works. The second one is Councillor Sleeman, 9.2.1b again. And that's also a financial interest, as Councillor Sleeman is in the process of purchasing a business in the area. And Councillor Davenport, 9.2.1b, again, that's a financial interest, as Councillor Davenport is a business owner on South Coast Highway.
Okay, those, because they are financial interests, those councillors must now leave the room. Now, we have a alternate motion that I will ask Councillor Gibson to now read out. Is that the correct?
Thank you, Mr. President. So my alternate motion is that Council request the Chief Executive Officer to develop a scope of works for the Regional Precincts and Partnerships Program application for Council's consideration and to inform any budget allocation.
Just a question to the CEO, will this alternate motion change any of the declarations of interests and require those councillors to return?
No, the declarations still stand because it's related to the topic. I'll probably make an additional comment to this, if I may, in terms of the motion itself. It certainly wouldn't cause any timing issues for getting any application in, because we already have a budget allocation to start the process, and what this would do effectively is ensure that there's an agreed scope of works before significant funds are spent.
Okay, before we have the mover, are there any questions to Councillor Gibson about, or clarifications about the motion? Okay, do we have a mover of the motion, Councillor Gibson? The second of the motion, Councillor Phillips. Do you wish to speak to the motion?
Thank you, yes, Mr. President. So obviously the staff recommendation that this hopefully will supersede would be the first step in a process that potentially, as we are aware, lead to up to $15 odd million being spent on the revitalisation of our CBD. And in speaking to the CEO about this, it came clear to me that really this was the first and primary decision-making step that we would make to commit to that program. And obviously if the works get developed and then we are successful in the funding, then that project would essentially just occur. And it seemed to me that there were questions that we should be asking prior to making that final commitment. Questions like, for example, is this $120,000 or total of $140,000 actually going to be sufficient to develop the scope and the plans required to make a successful funding application? What are the odds of being successful in that funding application? Because obviously spending a significant chunk of ratepayers' money if there's no good prospect of being successful is something that I believe Council should be informed about before they make that decision. And because we haven't had really an opportunity beyond a briefing note to understand the proposal, I felt that it was premature to be making the decision that essentially fully opened the pathway to flow through to the delivery of that project. And so, again, discussing it with the CEO, he advised that they had sufficient funds in the existing budget to allow the works that need to happen in the next couple of months to occur. And that would actually give us a better scope, something that Council could have a more of an understanding of the scope of the project, but also, for example, if it turns out that in order to be successful with a federal funding application, we might need to spend significantly more than $140,000, then we would probably have a good sense of whether that was the case too, with a bit more work being done on the project. And of course, that may colour our decision whether or not to pursue the funding application. For example, it was going to cost $300,000 or even more $1,000 to write what might then be a successful funding application. So I for all those considerations, which sort of evolved out of my concerns and discussion with the CEO, I believe that Because we can delay the decision to commit this funding until we have more information, that it is prudent to do so, so that we can be sure we're making decisions with the maximum possible information and in the fiduciary interests of our community.
Second, I'd like to speak.
Simply just to say that it's a significant increase in budget outside of our budgeting process, and I concur with what Councillor Gibson said. We need a little bit more information to know what we're funding.
Does anyone wish to speak against the motion? No. Is any more people? Anyone want to speak for the motion? Does any councillor just want to speak to the motion? No. In that case, would you like to close debate?
No.
No. Then all those in favour of Councillor Gibson's motion, please raise your hand. It's passed unanimously for who's in the room. We'll just wait while the councillors return. Okay, we will now move on to,
Sure, President, can we please just fill in the people who've just re-entered the room of what we've just agreed to?
Yes. So for those who have re-entered, we've passed 6-0 was the Councillor Gibson's amendment motion that... Can you bring it up on the screen in front of everyone? Save me reading out. Is the amended motion that is on the screen in front of you? Okay. We will now move on to 9.2.2, payments of accounts for the period ending 31st of October 2025. Now, we have an amended officer's recommendation. Would the CEO like to say anything on the amended officer's recommendation?
No, it's just a correction of a calculation error.
Okay, do I have a... mover of this motion? Councillor Phillips, is there a seconder? Councillor Devonport, do you wish to speak to the amended motion? No? Does anyone wish to speak to the motion or against the motion? No? All right. So all those in favour of the amended officer's recommendation? Unanimous. All right, moving on to item 9.2.3, rates exemption application for Advanced Housing Limited. Is there any questions to officers? Yes, Councillor Phillips.
So I have a couple of questions for the officer. In the executive summary, it talks about the fact that what we're being asked to do here is consistent with legislative requirements. So do we have any option about making these places non-rateable?
No, under the Local Government Act, they're a charitable purpose.
Okay, so that's the first question. And sorry, I have one more question. You know, the intent of this is for low-cost housing for people who need it, but who monitors whether the circumstances change for tenants over time?
So as part of our rates modelling, on an annual basis, we do review non-rateable properties. So we do write to them and request that they still maintain the same status. We don't actually check their housing scenarios, though.
Yeah, so that wasn't actually my question. It's around, you know, this is for low-cost housing for people that need it. But at what point in time, if it changes, does anyone monitor that?
Through the chair, it's not monitored to that level of detail.
Any other further? Yes, Councillor Wills.
Thank you. Under the risk management section, the financial impact is described as a moderate risk and possible likelihood. Under the proposed treatment is advocate for state compensation mechanisms, review budget allocations and service levels. I'd like to know how officers and yourself, Mr. Shire President, propose to advocate for state compensation.
Through the chair, most effective way of doing that would be through the WALGA zone. This will be an issue that all local governments face across the whole state. And when you have an issue of that kind of magnitude that's mirrored across other municipalities, that's always the most effective. So what we can do is have a look at, see what WALGA advocacy positions are in place, and if there isn't one that suits our needs in terms of this item, we can always have that conversation and put something through the WALGA zone to see if that's more broadly supported.
Thank you. And just a follow-up question to that, this is obviously nothing new as far as legislation goes. To the best of your knowledge, has this been raised before and has it ever got anywhere? Has there been much discussion around it? Because as you say, it's an issue for all of us and it would have been for quite some time.
Yeah, obviously there's a number of different categories that fall into the rates, you know, exempt provisions through the Act and the regulations. It's definitely a conversation that has been held across local governments, especially when we've just gone through a review or halfway through a review of the Local Government Act, and is definitely something that is a big issue for all local governments. So I guess the answer is yes, it's known, it's already been advocated for, but we can just check to make sure that that's still the case.
Any other questions to officers on this? No. Then do I have a mover for the officer's recommendation in 9.2.3? Councillor Gibson, second. Councillor Yule, do you wish to speak to?
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, I chose to move it so I could say a few things. I mean, obviously, we don't have a choice in this, so we need to approve the application, I believe, because it complies with state legislation that we are bound by. I think it's unfortunate, though, that we suffer from this. And with regards to the question Councillor Phillips asked in just a minute ago, you know, it's not just about for low-income people. Any charitable or not-for-profit organisation can apply for this rates-exempt status, and they do. And so Amaru Housing, for example, which is not full of poor people by any stretch of the imagination, similarly doesn't pay rates, and that's, you know, we raise rates to provide services for the whole community, including the rich and the poor, and I think it's important that everybody, as far as they're able and reasonably able to, pays their fair share. And I do know we made a submission, as did many other local governments, to the review of the Local Government Act asking for these exemptions to be removed, but that fell on deaf ears. So we are where we are. We have to approve the applications as they come forward, but I do think we should continue to pursue this because ultimately the people that live in these properties suffer from the reduction in services that not getting the rates from them means just as much as anyone else in the community, and I think we are all a community and the services we provide are for the benefit of all.
Councillor Yule. Does anyone wish to speak against the officer recommendation? Does anyone else want to speak for or to? Do you wish to close debate? No. In that case, all those in favour of the officer's recommendation for item 9.2.3. Unanimous. Okay, moving. Yeah. 9.2.4, request to change the method of valuation for number 55, lot 121, Numbat Grove, Parryville. Are there any questions to officers on this item? In which case, do I have a mover for this item? 9.2.4. Councillor Phillips, seconder. Councillor Yule, do you wish to speak to the motion? Oh, sorry, I thought I said Councillor Lewis.
Okay,
sorry. Yep. Do you wish to speak to the item? Does anyone wish to speak against the officer recommendation? Do you wish to close debate? Okay, all those in favour of the officer's recommendation 9.2.4. That is passed unanimously. Councillors, 9.3.1, councillors, delegates, committees, working groups, and external organisations. We have a number of officers' recommendations and positions required to fill. I would like to move that we suspend standing orders in order to enable these positions to be drafted in. Second, Councillor Lewis, any? So I will speak, I think, as we've done every year, to we need to move this so we can actually discuss it properly. Does anyone wish to talk against suspending standing orders? No? All those in favour? Standing orders are suspended unanimously. Did you get, I sent you a list just before of the draft positions? No, just before. Do you want me to bring it up now so you can go through them? We are still, we'll just pause for a second while they're all get filled in so people can see where they are and aren't allocated and filled. And presiding person has to be appointed during this council meeting too. So, where we are missing some are the audit. We're missing two from the audits. We have one competitive, which is LEMP. Both Councillor Hockey and Councillor Campbell wish to fill the second position for LEMP. And we need one. Yes. May have fallen out. So we have excess for the Behaviour Complaints Committee.
I'd be happy to change from Behavioural Complaints over to the Audit Risk if required.
Question, Mr. President.
Yes.
Is it possible to expand the LEMP to have both councillors involved?
Through the chair, there's nothing to say that you can't. You just have to amend the terms of reference.
While we're still typing those in, so filled is the behavioural committee. Does any of those who are nominated wish to be the presiding person? No? Yep. So I was going to let you type in, I was just going to discuss it, type the rest of it. Yes.
Question on the, which one was it? The Development Assessment Panel? That involves training, doesn't it?
Through the chair, yes, it does. Yeah.
Have any members already had that training? Can we go back to the Walga one?
Yep, we're just letting you fill all the ones that are not on our spreadsheet first, and then we'll go back through it all and fill the blanks. Sorry for the timing. Okay. That is as per, other than the change for the risk audit for Councillor Hockey from the behaviour, that is as per the thing I sent out earlier. Has anyone got any issues with the names that are currently there or themselves being on any of those current committees? All right. So, Councillor Lewis, you're willing to accept the behaviour complaints committee chair or presiding person? We can add that in. We still need one more person for one councillor for the audit and risk improvement committee. Is there anyone else willing to stand up for that?
I did read it somewhere. What was the, how often do they meet? Was it quarterly?
No, it's as required when the auditor gets their things in one basket. All right, of those people who have nominated for the Risk Audit Committee, is anyone willing to stand up as a presiding person? Don't even? Oh, we've got an exception. Yeah, sorry, we've got the independent now. Sorry, only just because I did it last time. BFAC, I think it's appropriate if I stand up as the presiding person, as the Shire President. Does anyone have any objections or discussion with that? No? All right, that one's done. So we have Councillor Campbell, Councillor Hockey, wanting to stand up as the second person in this. We can accept two with some changes. Is there any objection to two, or is any of those two councillors no longer wish to put their hand up for it? Yes.
I would like to stay on there just for continuity. And also, I think we've finally reached a meeting schedule that works for most of those members, and that's 3:30 on a Monday afternoon immediately before BFAC. So it kind of is easier to just do both. But I'm happy for us both to be on there if that's possible.
It's just confirming that's possible. While the staff are checking, Regional Development Assessment Panel hasn't met for the last couple of years, but we do need a second alternative. Is anyone willing to put their hand up for that? Ask the staff. The alternate does get the same training. So that one sorted. So